And strike three. Dodgers have won it all in 2020.
Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
And I'm joined by Tim Neverett. He's one of the play-by-play voices of the Los Angeles Dodgers, and he's actually talking to us from Dodger Stadium, and he's out with a brand new book called COVID Curveball, an inside view of the 2020 Los Angeles Dodgers World Championship season. The book is available everywhere. Best place to buy it is probably Amazon. And Tim, as you put this book together, it's written in a really cool format, almost like a journal of the crazy season that was 2020, ending in the Dodgers World Series Championship. It's one of those things where the season itself was a mystery, like a book would be, like a thriller book. But to top it all off, the Dodgers won the World Series. Makes it a heck of a lot easier to sell a book, doesn't it?
Well, it just gives a better ending to the story. You know, in a year where we didn't have a lot of good endings, 2020 was a miserable year for a lot of people. And there was a lot of change in America and the world, and a lot of it not good as a result. But this was a positive result at the end when you win the World Series. And, you know, I tried to chronicle what the Dodgers did in order to stay healthy enough, at least until they get to Game 6 of the World Series, to put together a World Series championship, their first since 1988, but, you know, also to chronicle the things that went on along the way, what it was like being at the ballpark when the team was on the road, what it was like when you were there when they were home and there were no fans and piped-in crowd noise, and, you know, a lot of the different things that went on during the course of the season, and kind of, you know, sharing it through my perspective of being the swing guy that goes back and forth between TV and radio, and just with a 60-game season, not really knowing what we were going to do. But it was an important year for the Dodgers and for baseball to complete the season because, you know, we in this country and around the world, too, needed a positive distraction with everything else that was going on. And, you know, the book kind of chronicles everything that had to go into creating that positive distraction so that people could enjoy baseball and, you know, on television, and I was one of the fortunate few to get to see at least 30 games in person, but watched all 60 and, you know, the postseason and everything else. So it's just kind of a journey, part of it, my journey. There's some personal stories in there as well, but I think it's interesting to kind of chronicle the most different baseball season that anybody's ever experienced.
After everything shut down during spring training in March there, and then you started moving toward April, May, was there any part of you, I mean, you're as inside as it gets with Major League Baseball, is there any part of you that thought there may not be a season at all?
Yeah, there absolutely was. And once we had figured out that there would be, you know, a second spring training, or as we were calling it, summer camp in July, and then we're going to start the season, I'm thinking, okay, we're good to go. And then as we started seeing more teams having to be shut down, like the Marlins and the Cardinals and whatnot, I started to doubt that we would finish. And I think that Major League Baseball got the biggest sigh of relief the night of Game 6 when the season ended that night, because the most 2020 thing about the 2020 season was the fact that a guy with the Rays, a left-handed pitcher, Blake Snell, was absolutely dominating the Dodgers in Game 6. He didn't last as long in the game due to analytics and team philosophy as a player who had a positive test and Justin Turner at third base for the Dodgers. He was in the game longer than the starting pitcher who was dominating, which is a total example of 2020 baseball. But because of that positive test, who knows what would have happened had Tampa Bay won Game 6. When would Game 7 have been played? Would there have been a Game 7? What would Major League Baseball have done? Reconvene 2 weeks later or 10 days later? I don't think so. I don't know. But we're just glad we didn't have to find out, and the Dodgers got the World Series victory.
I know you mentioned that you do both. You flip between TV and radio, and the way that a play-by-play guy works on TV is different than radio when you paint your picture, when people can see it versus when they can't. You work with a couple of great color commentators. Does the color commentator's job change from radio to TV?
I think it does. I think when you're on television, it's more of an analyst medium, so you really have an economy of words. You don't need to say as much because they can see what's going on because they're watching it on television. You don't want to insult the viewer. So you say less, but you also try to tee up your analyst more and involve them more. I work with a great analyst on radio, and, you know, we have a great balance, I think, but you do have to paint the picture a lot more, and you do more play-by-play work on radio than you do on television. Television, you're more of a traffic cop on certain nights, making sure you get in and out of the commercial breaks and the promos and things like that, but there's obviously a lot more to it, but you say less when you're on television than when you do radio.
There's some great nuggets in this book. You tell a great story about Chico Herrera that's in the book. Can you just kind of summarize that for me? Because I love that story.
Yeah, who's Chico, right? So we've got summer camp going on, and we've got guys that haven't shown up yet. And because of HIPAA laws and whatnot, the manager can't, some of these guys aren't there, but some of these players have COVID and have not shown up, so they're short roster-wise. So Chico Herrera was posted in the lineup of an exhibition game, or an inter-squad game, actually the first one. He was going to play in the outfield. So on television, our television network, Sportsnet LA, just kind of, they had video of it, and they were airing these inter-squad games because we were starving for baseball at that time. And so when they posted the lineup on the screen, it had all the, you know, some regular names out there, Mookie Betts and Max Muncy, and then also in the lineup, to face Clayton Kershaw on the other team, was just a one-named wonder named Chico. Now, I'm starting to scratch my head. I said, look, I know the organization. I have no idea who Chico is. And then it dawned on me, oh, he's one of our bat boys. He's one of our clubhouse attendants. And Chico Herrera, and he went to Hollywood High School, the same high school that Kurt Russell went to, as a matter of fact, and started in baseball there. And Hollywood High was not that far from Dodger Stadium, really. And so he was a pretty good baseball player there, but he has been a staple in the Dodger clubhouse for a lot of years now. And he went out, he made some plays. He robbed Mookie Betts of a double in a game, I mean, but they didn't let him hit. They didn't want to let him get up there and face Kershaw. I think anybody who likes to play baseball would love to see how they could fare, or at least see what it looks like out of a left hand of a pitcher as good as Kershaw, but he didn't get that opportunity. But it was just such a neat side story that I felt I really needed to include that in the book.
I'm chatting with Tim Neverett about his brand new book, COVID Curveball, his inside view of the 2020 LA Dodgers World Championship season. Tim is the radio and TV play-by-play voice, one of them for the Dodgers. Tim, one of the other things I liked about your book is you got deeply personal, and you told some very moving stories about things that ball players and people in professional baseball have done for you, for things that have come up with your family and the organization in your life. And through your association with them in the organization, when you reveal things like that, does that have a therapeutic effect to realize how good a lot of these people are that are involved in Major League Baseball?
I think so. And, you know, I relay a story about Mookie Betts in there. In fact, Mookie and I had that conversation on the field about 2 weeks ago. We were talking about that same story, and I had to fill him in on the end of the story because the part that he didn't know in the story, the way it, you know, my dad died suddenly one night, and the next day I was at the ballpark at the urging of my mother to go to work and go call a game at Fenway Park when I was working for the Red Sox. And Mookie hit a walk-off home run that helped me get through the night. And so the next day at the park, he saw me and said, oh, I'm really sorry to hear what happened. Can I do anything? And I said, you know what, I don't really ask you for anything, Mookie. So, yeah, I'm going to ask you something now. Can you get that bat? I want to take a picture of you with that bat. And so he did, and I got it framed, and I gave it to my mother. And this is the part I told Mookie that he didn't know, and that was that my mother took pictures of my own kids down and put his picture with me up, and because I said, you were her favorite player. And he started laughing. He said, no way. She did that. I go, yeah, she took my own kids off the wall for you, Mookie. But yeah, it was a personal story, but it just goes to show you just on a very small gesture that what a player can do to make a difference in other people's lives. You know, something that's just normal for a player. Yeah, I'll take a picture with you, no big deal. But it had meaning because of the timing, because of the situation. And, you know, it was something that was pretty soothing and, you know, for my mother at the time. So it was, you know, just another example of, you know, some of these guys in sports that are really good people.
I know it took a little bit to getting used to call games by watching on monitors, and you're still doing it for road games. Did you do any practice runs before the first time you did that, or was the first time you did that the first time you were on the air?
And I had experience at the Olympics doing it in the past, so I had some experience at it. I happened to call baseball and softball at the Olympics in 04 and 08 and had to do it off a screen. So that was my experience coming in. But now this year, when we, in fact, this season, we didn't go to spring training. The Dodgers kept us home, and we had to call games, and it was just like, all right, you're in there. And then we started doing it last year. It was like, okay, here's the setup. You've got a, you know, these screens in front of you. Make it work. So you just do it, and it's still not easy. I'll do it again tonight. We'll call the game between the Dodgers and Cardinals in St. Louis, and we'll be at Dodger Stadium. And, you know, yesterday I had problems seeing the baseball because of the time of day and the shadows, and never going to make an excuse, but it's just a fact that there was a hard time yesterday. And I've had other issues where we've lost picture, we've lost sound, whatever, you know, can go wrong will go wrong. We lost power in the truck the other day when I was doing the game on TV. So fortunately, it was before the game started. They were able to get it back in time. These are things that wouldn't necessarily happen if you were at the game site, but, you know, the Dodgers want to keep everybody healthy, and I think that's the philosophy with all the other teams that are not traveling their broadcasters, is they want to keep them healthy until they deem that it's going to be completely safe for everybody to travel again.
Well, and then every fan that watches, every deep fly ball looks like a home run. That's got to be the same effect you have watching that on a monitor, right?
No, not at all, because look at it. Next time you watch a game, see where the camera shows you, okay, ball hits the bat there. Where's the ball? You can't see the ball. It's not in the picture. When they cut to the outfielder trying to get in position to catch the ball, you still can't see the ball. And it comes out of the screen for a split second into the guy's glove or over the wall. So when there's a fly ball hit, you cannot see it if you're calling it on television. It's just it's not in the picture. So that's one of the biggest challenges is myself, my colleagues, we have a hard time calling home runs with conviction. If we get it right, then it was a heck of a guess. We have a hard time calling with conviction because we can't see the flight of the ball at all.
Before I let you go, I got to ask. You got two rings that you can wear. You got one for Boston when they won, and then you've got the one from the Dodgers. Is the first call you make as a broadcaster to your homeowner's policy to make sure you get a rider on that thing when you get a ring?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, you go through the insurance process because I do take it out. I just did an appearance in Rancho Cucamonga at our single A affiliate. It's about a 50-minute drive from L.A., and I brought the ring, the Dodgers ring, with me, and, you know, we displayed it and let people take pictures with it, things like that. But I'm always kind of nervous. I don't let it leave my side. And sometimes I'll joke with kids who come up and they're staring at it, and they want to feel how heavy it is. And I said, okay, but just understand there's Secret Service all over this place, and I have a few snipers, so do not run. And that trick usually works.
It's a heck, heck of a problem to have, isn't it?
Yeah. But it was nice to have an actual book signing event because the bookstores aren't doing them. So what I'm doing is I offer, you know, signed copies through social media, through Twitter and Instagram. And if people want to get a hold of me through Twitter and Instagram, they can do that, and then I'll tell them the details on how to get a signed and personalized book. But we can't do it that often because we don't have the bookstores allowing book signing events right now due to COVID. So that's still a carryover, and that's creating some issues. But in lieu of that, we offer, you know, if somebody gets a hold of me on social media, we'll get them a signed copy of the book.
All right. Well, the book is fantastic. And by the way, the introduction is by Oral Hershiser, and that is just a great read as well. The book is COVID Curveball, an inside view of the 2020 Los Angeles Dodgers World Championship season by Tim Neverett. It's available everywhere. Go on Amazon.com or hit Tim up on social media to get your autographed copy. Tim, just a fantastic reminiscence of the 2020 season, lots of inside stuff, and I thank you for joining me to talk about it.
Well, thank you for asking me. I appreciate it. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I hope your listeners will, too.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time. Like another perfect day.